It's a privilege to be here at 11 a.m. Me and my wife Eliza, we look at the 11 a.m. congregation as our younger brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it's a pleasure to be able to be here with you all now. Let's pray. Let's devote this time to God, and we'll spend some time in His Word. Dear love and Heavenly Father, we pray so much that you would help us to understand the great truths about you from this passage. Lord, we ask that each one of us would be more like Christ as we hear him speak this morning. Amen. I wonder how each of you feels about paying your taxes. For me, personally, I think it gets a little bit easier every year. Online, it's just a few clicks of the button and done. How good's that? But maybe for yourself, it's a bit more of a burden. You might have had to pay more than you think is fair to a government that you don't agree with all the time. And that's an interesting tension there, isn't it? Obeying a government that you disagree with. Last week, you might have seen it, there was a chopper flying over Parramatta for hours and hours. And there were hundreds of people meeting down at Parramatta River to voice their opinions against the government because of their disagreements. And you might have seen it on the news as well. And there have been times that I have found myself frustrated about the way things have been done over the last couple of months, with lockdowns, rules, and regulations. And I wonder if you've felt the same way, the similar frustrations with the authorities over us in this time. What we see in this passage is a first century example of a people upset at an authority. And they come to Jesus with a question. And Jesus, rather than answering their question, provides them with a principle, with the wisdom that they may answer the question for themselves. So we have the setup. The Pharisees' first attempt at getting Jesus arrested. Let's look at this attempt together from verse 15. Verse 15 says, "Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap them in their words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?'" The Pharisees have been looking for ways to get Jesus arrested for a little while now. For context, Jesus has just spent the better part of two parables saying how the Pharisees are on their way out in regards to authority. God has a new king for his people, his son. And the people who reject the son will be left behind and killed. Back in chapter 21, verse 45, it tells how the Pharisees feel about Jesus. I wonder if you can see it there, just back a chapter, verse 45, it says, "When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet." So here is the setup, the sting, if you will. The Pharisees have come up with a very cunning plan to have Jesus arrested. The followers or henchmen of the Pharisees team up with the Herodians. And these two parties working together is quite puzzling. They would be at loggerheads with one another most of the time. The Pharisees and their followers, well, they hated the Romans. Their Messiah that they believed in was a savior who would come and overthrow Rome. The Herodians, on the other hand, well, they were sympathizers with Rome, supporters. Any scent of mutiny, and they would go straight to the authorities to have the person arrested, or worse. But here they are together, planning to have Jesus arrested. Did you see how before the question they used a lot of flattery? They try to butter Jesus up in hope of luring him into giving the answer that they want. See what they say about him? "Man of integrity, teach the way of God in truth. You are not swayed by the opinion of others. All those things that are said are with the intention of getting Jesus to share his true thoughts about taxes. Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? That's their question. They are hoping that this question will lead to a yes or no answer that will hopefully incriminate Jesus. See, if Jesus answers yes, pay your taxes, he goes against the Jewish people. The nation of Israel was subject to Roman rule at this point, and they had been placed under heavy, heavy taxes because of their continued disloyalty. But if they could get Jesus to say, yeah, pay your taxes, the crowds would leave him and his authority would go as well. But if Jesus says, don't pay your taxes, well, that's mutiny against Caesar. The Herodians would go straight up to the higher authorities and have Jesus arrested for his rebellion against the empire. Yes or no? That's what they want to hear. And the two parties, they'd be happy to see themselves lose just to prevent Jesus from winning. And with their question, they believe they've got him right where they want him. But I think what's staggering is behind all this flattery that they have within their words, Jesus knows their intention. He knows their motives in verse 15. They want to trap him. And the reality is, in all that they say, there is truth. Because Jesus does have integrity. He teaches the ways of truth of God. He isn't fazed by the status of anyone. So when he speaks up, listen up. I wonder if sometimes we have a tendency to come to God with an intention. It might not be as wicked as getting someone arrested, but we want Jesus to say something particular. Our intention is not to approach Jesus for who he actually is. We hope he will give us the answer we want to hear. We'll look for specific things that he says and take them out of context in order to get our own way. It could be about taxes. It could be about your own spiritual life. It could be about how you relate with the authorities and the governments. But what Jesus wants is true hearts, a true intention, not one that is seeking to get something else out of it. Then we get to Jesus' response. Rather than answer yes or no with their question, Jesus, he goes a different way about it. Let's pick it up together in verse 18. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he said, "Whose image is this? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Jesus knows their hearts. He knows what their intent is. Throughout Matthew's gospel, people have come to Jesus, and he knows their hearts, their thoughts, their intentions of everyone who he comes into contact with. People who come to him humbly and ask for help, Jesus loves them. People that come to him with evil intentions or with thoughts of how they want things to go, will then he replies in truth. And this time is no different. The hypocrisy is that the Pharisees claim to be higher than everyone else, the Herodians as well. The Pharisees, they don't want to pay taxes and obey a government, but they ask Jesus if they should. But because he knows their intent, he knows exactly what the trap is. There might as well be a huge neon sign over the top saying, "This is a trap. Don't go there." And the Herodians are just as bad. Everyone knew the disdain for the Romans that the Israelites had. But they're willing to let their values slide for the sake of winning against against Jesus and getting him arrested. The coin that he gets brought to him is a denarius. It's a rather cheap coin used for paying taxes to Rome. It's a different coin than what Jesus would have used a little bit earlier, in a few chapters earlier, for the temple tax. But he uses it to prove the point. The picture is Caesar's. And the inscription on the back would have said something along the lines of Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus. So we can only assume why they left that part out. The divine son Augustus. It further highlights their hypocrisy that they wouldn't comment on a human divine son. Jesus has trumped them when it comes to the law. So they turn to Rome, whom they hate, in order to have him taken care of. The Pharisees should be concerned with the fact that Jesus calls himself the divine son of God, not the divine son of Augustus. But the idea of Jesus having them bring him a coin and then answer the question is really important, because he's not going to try and weasel his way out of an answer, but rather he's going to help them see that there is an error in their thinking. The question itself is quite unhelpful for the Pharisees, but Jesus will use it for his will to help them understand. He uses their words against them. He is of integrity. He is concerned with the truth that comes from God's word. He doesn't care about the status of people. He calls them hypocrites. He means it. But then he doesn't stop there. He goes on further to ask them, whose coin is it? Whose imprint is on it? He doesn't give them the answer they want. And piece by piece, their trap falls apart. It is nothing more than a heap of words on the ground. This isn't how it was meant to go. In their eyes, Jesus was meant to say yes or no, and they'd be home before dinner. But instead, they can see that he is taking their argument away from them. Jesus senses the tension here between the church and the state. The church is asking them about state matters and what to do with them. And over the last 4 months, you've probably found yourself in discussions around the same thing. What should we do about lockdowns, vaccines, governments, all of these things? That's created a real tension in our daily lives. Jesus provides us with a principle of what to do. We're going to get there, I promise. He isn't going to give us the exact answer, but he'll help us understand the tension between the two and help us come to our own answers that honor God. So then Jesus comes with a challenge. He uses the coin to prove a greater point than just paying your taxes. Pick it up with me through verse 21. Jesus says, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. There's a parallel that can be drawn between the coin and the person then. The coin has Caesar's image on it, so give it to Caesar's. The image of God has been placed on something as well. What is it, though? If there is something with the image of God on it, what needs to happen to it? Humans are made in the image of God. So, give it to God. Jesus has just spent the best of two parts of the parables explaining to the Pharisees that he has come to bring in a new time, a new era, a new kingship. And here he shows them that there is something greater than given to humans that is more important than whether or not you should pay your taxes. Jesus is saying, give back to God. Render to God what is rightfully his. Give God's people back to God. Jesus is the Son, the ruler, the King who has come. And as God's people, turn and follow that King. That's what Jesus is saying. So, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Pay your taxes, whether willingly or begrudgingly. But how much more should you give to God? The answer is everything. And if he has sent his son, the king, to you to teach you how to understand God, how much more should you listen to him? You should listen with everything. Rather than look at ways to get Jesus arrested, Jesus is saying, give to God what is God's. Listen to the greater authority, which is his son. And Jesus knows that this is an important thing to be a steward of the earth. That means that people need to fulfill their civil duties to the government. Even though there would be lots of angst about paying your taxes to Rome, Jesus tells them to pay them. It's Caesar's image on the coin, so pay it to Caesar. The people, however, are made in God's image, so give it to God. And there is no real conflict between state and God, because one always triumphs the other, trumps over the other. Jesus teaches this, knowing that there will be conflicts between church and state. But when it comes between God and state, there's no competition. So his teaching is, obey God, then obey the government. And this is echoed by Paul in Romans 13 as well, where Paul says, obey God and obey the government because they have been placed by God. So that should be our principle as we continue in our lives with everything. And that will be hard to hear for some of us, especially over the last 2 years, even more the last 4 months, which have been really rough. Obey God. Obey the government. So when we think about the image of God, a coin was recently found and placed on auction. It was dated back to India in the 1600s. It had some interesting images on it. It was valued at over $500,000. The simple $1 coin that we've all seen in our time, if you had 45 of those, you would have the minimum wage in Cuba. And so you can imagine the value that they would put on the coin. Now imagine how much God values your life because he's placed his image on you. The Creator God placing his image on someone, on you, is far more precious than any coin. And there is real comfort that can come from the knowledge of knowing that he has made you in his likeness. What a great thing that is. So let's think about the coin and the person again. The coin, the denarius, small pieces of metal hammered into shape, sees his image imprinted on it, an inscription about being the son of the divine. These coins are to be paid back to the person whose inscription it is, whose image is on it. Now think about this. Humans, made in the image of God, with the actual son, the divine son, as their king. God has created you. Everything about you he has made. Then he sends his son who pays the highest price for those made in God's image. Because he has given so much for those he loves, Jesus then asks the people, what will you give? Will you give to God what is God's? If you are new here, you're not trusting in Jesus just yet, what does that actually look like, giving to God what is God's? Well, it means believing that Jesus' death and resurrection has paid the price for you, paid for your sin, that you can have a right relationship with God. That's what giving to God what is God's looks like. So we want to ask you, if you would like to do that today, please do it. If you believe already, we've been created by the divine maker, and we are image bearers, so God has a claim on all human beings. Therefore, give to God what is God's. If you're willing to pay your taxes to our government, then how much more should we give to God? We should give everything, every part of us, everything in our lives, because we are made in his image. What about money, though? The simple thing is pay your taxes. That's the simple thing to take out of this. But for you in particular, how much time are you spending storing up your wealth? I'm not trying to gaslight any of you, make you feel bad for wanting to be safe in your income. There's nothing wrong with that. But how much extra time are you spending trying to get more? Is work or earning more money getting in the way of your godliness? Maybe think about this. How much time are you spending working or earning money instead of spending time with God? Or this, how much time are you looking at your phone, checking all of the updates on income rather than meditating throughout the day on something that you've heard in a sermon, a podcast, a Bible study. What about this? I'm guilty of this one as well. Putting your phone away when you're doing your quiet times so your time with God is God's time. Giving your life to God means giving everything to God and not letting other things come into it. Give to God what is God's. And there's the interesting tension here now between state and the church, God and the church. What happens if there are conflicts between the church and God? Really, the pain of taxes in Jesus' time was not getting in the way of worshiping God. Rather, it was the godliness or the godlessness of the Pharisees. So I think the principle that we can take away here is to obey the government up until the point where there is a fundamental opposition against God. And that's really how the leaders here of our church and of our diocese have thought about things with lockdown and church. The intention of the government over the last couple of months was to care. They were trying to care for the people. Their intention was not trying to shut the church down and stop people from worshiping. So in that regards, the leaders here at St. John's and the people around Sydney thought that was give to Caesar what is Caesar's. They were still giving to God what is God's by meeting with one another in an online capacity and encouraging one another in Christ that way. So then the principle is there, if a genuine opposition against the church is prohibiting people to worship God, well then the script flips a little bit there, doesn't it? Because there is an intention there that goes against God. I think there's a really good example in the underground churches around the world. In the most persecuted of countries, they are still gathering, even though if the government found out, they would be arrested, maybe killed, but they still meet together to worship. They provide an example of what it looks like to go against the government when they are not going, when they are going directly against God. And they know the risk if they get caught. And the blessing is we've been given many options in this country to do as you please, as your conscience sees, but in many ways also be prepared to be punished if you disobey. But in all of this, we need to remember that humans are made in God's image. And that gives a great value on your life as Jesus has paid the price for you as he gave his life on the cross. Therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, give your life to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are the Creator God, that you have made us humans in your image. Father, we thank you for your Son who bore our likeness, that he would pay the price for us. We ask that we would give our lives to you, our God, every day. Help us in our intentions, in our thoughts, in our hearts, give all that we have to you. Father, we often sin against you by not giving our lives to you, but please help us to be willing to give everything to you. Help us to be good citizens of this country, all the while knowing that you are in control. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.